Hallelujah. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is so far out God can't reach it. All things are contained in Him. This whole universe is in Him. That means anything going on with us is in Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no such thing as anything being outside of God, since He's bigger and more than everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus today. All things. Say all things. Say all things. Stand on your feet and say all things. Say all things. All things. Say everything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All things. All things. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Keroba, shekerobosa de keterederobosa. Ero shekerederobosa to all things. All things. All things. All things. Yes, I all things. All things. He is more than enough. All things. All things. All of it. All of it, all of it, every doubt, every fear, all brokenness, every habit, all things. Hallelujah. Nothing about you escapes His view. Nothing about you escapes His power. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Hallelujah. Jesus said, all power in heaven and in earth, I have it. That's what He said. That's what He said. That's why we keep quoting this verse over here. Till we get it. Till we get it. That He is everything. He is all things. And then suddenly it will come, oh my goodness, He's got this too. He can handle this too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, we have a tendency to categorize problems. To categorize our circumstances. We say this is worse than that, and this is harder than that thing over there, and this is too much, or this, sometimes we'll say, this is too little for me to take it to God. But he said, all things today. All things today. A short while ago, I thought about my Aunt Betty Mae, and I'm trying not to cry. She was my mother's middle sister, and she was the one that just seemed to take to me and my family. And my Aunt Betty Mae was just everything to me. And recently, I just prayed a little prayer concerning her one granddaughter that I knew. I said, God, you know, it'd be so good to know where Edie is. And I turned around in Sunday school this morning, and Edie was sitting back there. It has been so many years. I don't even know how many years since I've even seen her. But here's what I'm saying. No matter even how small it may seem to you, it's never insignificant to God. If it means something to you, it means something to him. I thought I was going to hug the life out of her, or she was going to hug it out of me. I felt like somebody might stop breathing the way we were squeezing back there. Neither of us did, because God had mercy on the squeeze. But it was, I said, I can't believe you here. She said, I was determined to see somebody in my mama's family, and I remembered you and Mike. And then she said, and I heard it's one of the Atkins here too. I said, that's him up there. Come on back here. Hallelujah. It's not too big, nor is it too small. And you know, Jody, the thing that I just kept praying for you was that woman in you of God that would stand up and deny and refuse to be denied, to deny the report that said he couldn't, and to refuse to be denied what God said he would do. And then I pray for your peace. And then you sent me a note and said, you got people praying at noon every day. I said, okay, me too. Glory to God. Because I just believe King David ain't got no choice but to get up from there and be a testimony. It's not so little, and it's not so big, that God is not in it. He doesn't categorize things, we do. We say, well, you know, they just too far gone. No. I'm telling you, listen, we were talking about the mercy of God this morning. I know this sounds strange, but I believe God wants to do something in here today. And so you know what? It was like we were talking about the mercy of God this morning, and as we were talking about how good God is and how merciful he is, I thought about how Jesus sat at the table with Judas, and they dipped in the same bowl and ate. And at the same time they did, Jesus knew that he was about to go and betray him to the death. But because God is so good, he keeps coming after us to the last minute. So nothing is so far gone, and nobody is so far gone, because Judas was as gone as they could be. He's called the son of perdition. He's called the one who won't come back. But till the end, God showed him mercy. Till the end, God showed him goodness. So if you've written somebody off in here today, get over it. You can't write them off. We don't know because God is the one who makes the judgments. God is the one who decides what is and who is. And Hebrews 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. cling to. Don't let go of that which God has spoken concerning you, concerning your life, concerning your situation. Don't let go of him and what he has said, because the word that he has given you is alive and it's powerful. And the word is greater and bigger and more than anything that's going on. It cuts to the very core of your being. Finding us out and making us, after it finds us out, what God wants us to be. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What that says is that Jesus was taken to the brink of what it would take to make him give up. He was taken to the nth degree. He was pressured to the nth degree of what it would take to make him give up, yet he did not, nor did he sin. He was taken to the brink of what it would, in other words, he experienced enough to have sinned, but he did not. And because he did not, he made the way for you to do not. Huh? He made the way for us to do not, because he came and he lived as a man. The Bible says he stripped himself of his glory. Come on. He stripped himself of what made him God all the way. Yet he was still God and man. Don't be confused. But he was 100% man. Why? Because he had to be, so that he could resist unto the death sin. And he resisted sin unto the death so that you could resist, I could resist sin unto the death. But he not only made us able to do it, but he not only positioned us to do it, but then he empowered us to do it. The power not to is on the inside of every believer. I don't care how you feel today, how helpless, how hopeless. I don't care what you're feeling today. You have the ability not to do it wrong. It's in there. You just got to let it rise up. We just have to let it rise up. Can you understand what I'm saying? Have you had those times when you saw so much about yourself, you thought, is this in me? Am I still like this? Is it? I have been so sick of me this week. I've been so tired of me. I thought, oh, when she gonna die? I keep confessing that scripture that says, not I live, but Christ lives in me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. And just keep confessing it. And the more I confess it, the more I see I need to die. Ain't nobody paying attention. Do you hear what I'm saying? The more I confess it, I thought, is this scripture cleaning me up or something? Because stuff just keeps coming to the surface. I gave the poor telephone man a fit the other day. All the man was trying to do was do his job. He was just trying to do his job, and he was, but he was being facetious. But still, whether he's facetious or not, I don't need to react. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I mean, he was being facetious, and he kept going, 1, 2, 3, and I said, I know how many televisions I got. I ain't got but two. This says you have 1, 2, 3. I said, no, it doesn't. What it says is that when the telephones were installed, when the U-verse was installed, the television stuff was installed, it mean I had 2 hardwired, and then your man convinced me that I need to buy the wireless box, because then I could take a television everywhere I want to. And you know he tricked me into buying that box. And now you're sitting up here acting like I got 3 televisions. I ain't got but 2. He said, 1, 2, 3. I said, I'm not stupid. Y'all laughing, but y'all know I'm telling the truth. We just as wrong and got so much mess in us. I shouldn't have even allowed myself to be provoked, but I was. Huh? He said, he kept counting the 3 boxes. 1, 2, 3. I said, that black one, I bought it. Because the man told me, if you have this one, you can move the television anywhere in the house you want to move it with this box. He said, 1, 2, 3. He kept counting them boxes. And telling me I had 3 TVs. I don't have but 2 TVs. I said, follow me. I said, 1 TV. 2 TVs. He walked back in the dining room and he counted the 3 boxes. I was so tired of him, I didn't know what to do. And then finally, y'all laughing because y'all know y'all do stupid stuff too. And I said, calm down, Carolyn. I said out loud, with him standing there, I said, calm down, Carolyn. This is not you. Why did I say that's not me? Because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am controlled by the life that lives on the inside of me. I said, this is not you. The man just standing there looking at me while I'm talking out loud to myself. I said, this is not you. I said, you know something? Just go ahead and wire the TVs the way you want to wire them. Do what you're going to do. And we're going to be okay. And then I went and I started doing some stuff. And then I heard, you need to go apologize to that man. So I went in there, and I said, you know something, sir? I am so sorry because I was acting out of character. Why am I saying I was acting out of character? Because that is not the nature of Christ. Huh? I didn't say it wasn't in there. I said, but it's out of character with who I profess to be. In Christ. See, we got to stop saying and we got to start being Christ-like. That's why God sends the word, because then the word cuts and it reveals what's in there, but it also gives a remedy to what's in there. So his countenance changed. He said, ma'am, that's all right. He said, I just know you got a lot going on with you right now and everything. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to leave you 1 hard wire, and I'm going to give you 2 wireless boxes, and I'm not going to charge you for the other wireless blocks. Okay. So now I just got 1 wired TV, 2 wireless boxes, 1 already paid for. Is anybody in the house? And the other one, the service of AT&T, bless his holy name. Why did I tell you that story? Because the word of God comes with power. And in that power, in that word, is the ability to find you. And what's going on with you that's not like God, so who you really are can come forth. We're not mean if we're saved. You just acting mean. We are who God says we are. And Jesus has been touched with everything that we experience so that when we come to the experience, we can get it right. Even if we start out getting it wrong. Why are you preaching this way? I believe because it's in the house today. that some changes need to be made. That we need to just say, hey, look, there's some stuff going on with me, and it really shouldn't be going on with me. You know, there are times in life when you feel like, I really won't do that anymore, and then you'll find out you will. I'm not gonna do that anymore. And see, here's the thing about me. Generally, it takes a lot to get me to blow up. So, a lot. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Miss, don't keep counting them boxes. They sent me here for 3 TVs. 1, 2, 3. Even with me explaining, I only had 2 when the boy sold me that other box. You know, Paul worked for them people. He know that they sell you stuff you don't need. He used to work for them. Tell the truth. They sell you stuff they don't need. That's what he did. He sold people stuff they didn't need. And he sold me something I did not need because I had 2 hardwired boxes. And I bought it too because I can take my television in the kitchen. I can take my television in the living room because I don't have one in the living room. I'll take my if I feel like living room TV today, I can have living room TV today. The word will find you out. But it doesn't leave you there. And that's what's important. That's what's important. See, we don't like to see the ugly, but it's good for you to know that the ugly is there so that the word that has been sent to show you the ugly can now deal with it in such a way that you're now delivered from that thing. Can you hear what I'm saying? So I started to tell you this. I know this is all over the place, but I believe that the message is prophetic. So then this morning, we were talking about the mercy of God. And while we're talking about the mercy of God, I thought about what God did in me when my nephew had been shot and killed by this guy just point blank. He shot him dead in his chest, right up on him. He fell. His last words were, "He really shot me." He didn't think the guy was going to shoot him. And what went on with them is, he told me, he said, "Oh man, you're not going to shoot anybody." And this is the way everybody was telling it. Even the guy said it. He didn't mean to, but anyway, he said, "Man, you're not going to shoot anybody." And he said, and when he knew anything, he had shot him. And he fell on the floor, and he said, "He really shot me." And those were his last words. He's 29 years old. Man, that thing wrecked me. So fast forward to the day that the man is being sentenced. I'm running a revival in Springfield, Illinois. And I come home that Thursday for his sentencing. Now, I want you to see this picture. Because I'm telling you, the word will find you out. And so I'm in Springfield, and I'm preaching everything in me. I'm laying hands on the sick. I'm casting out devils. I'm doing everything I can do by the power of the living God. But it's in my heart that on Thursday, I am going to the sentencing so that he can get what he's got coming to him, and I want to see it. You can have the mess in you while you're saying the word, while you're preaching the word, while you're laying hands on the... Oh, it's in there, and Jesus wants it out today. Now, we're having a rip-roaring revival. More and more people are coming every night. But I'm getting down here Thursday to Belleville, Illinois, St. Clair County, County Seat Courthouse, and I'm going to see him get what he's got coming to him. Yes, I am. So Thursday morning, I get up, and I'm driving to Belleville because he's going to get what he's got coming to him. And I got in that courtroom, and I'm sitting there waiting, and they bring this man out. You getting yours today, buddy. When the judge asked him what he had to say, he stood up and he said, I wish that day had never happened. And the power of God fell in that place today, that day. And I'm telling you, God took that thing out of my heart. It's like the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, and the peace of God all wrapped in one. Just took my heart over. I can't even explain to you how I let that man go that day. I let him go. I didn't even look back. He's free and he's walking the streets today, and thank God that he is. Can you hear what I'm saying? Because there's something God wants to do in his life. I don't know. But he set me free that day. Ooh-wee. God set me free that day. You can be saying it. You can be moving in the body of Christ and making change, and there's still things that need to be done in your heart. Don't sit in here today like you're not in it, because we are. We need work done in us. And it's the word of God that does the work. It's the word of God that brings a peace, that brings a deliverance, that brings a forgiveness, that causes the mercy of God to flow. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. That's why when he met the tax collector, he didn't condemn him. That's why when he met the woman at the well, he didn't condemn her. That's why when the prostitute came and washed his feet, he didn't condemn her. She was already condemned. He came to set her free. He's in here today to set free. Not bring condemnation. You haven't been so bad. You haven't done so much that Jesus didn't come to make you right today. He's not pointing fingers today. We have such an high priest who offers up before God the sacrifice for our sins. He doesn't bring to God the accusations. Did you know Jesus is not accusing you today? Because of what's in you right now, he's not even accusing you. He's still sending a word to sanctify, to cleanse, to separate us to the place where we'll be all that God wants us to be. You know, after that day in court that day, I didn't really want to talk to any of my family, because I knew that they wanted him got too. I'm serious. We wanted God to get him. But I knew that day that I could never want that ever again. There may be somebody in here today who's holding on to something. They did it. They did it point blank. But God is here to let you know today that you can release that thing. You can let it go, because Jesus did. He's touched with what you feel. He's in touch with what you feel. And you can let go so that God can bring healing and restoration to your heart. God wants to bring peace in here today to that one who has no peace. He wants to bring joy to that one who has no joy. That's why Jesus came. Did you hear the song today? No matter what the situation with this one right here, or the situation with that one right there, he came to lift that burden so that that person could be restored, so he could be healed. Can you hear what I'm saying? He came to take away the things that weigh us down, the things that separate us from him. Why are you talking this way today? Because there is a great need in here today for us to let go. There's a great need in here for us to give it all to God today. And to say, Father, here it is. No matter how long you've held on to it, no matter how you've been affected by it, let it go. So that God can bring to you the wholeness that is yours in him. Did you know we're joint heirs with Jesus? And whatever belongs to Jesus belongs to us. Jesus fixed it so. Isn't that something? He died for our sins, and now he's sharing his life with us. Only Jesus could do that. Only Jesus. It took two lambs in the Old Testament. One to carry the sin and one to take him out to get rid of. Listen, Jesus is the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. We don't need two lambs. One to bear the burden, one to be liberated. We just need the one. We have the great high priest, Jesus Christ, who came to make it all right. We may be feeling things that are not pleasant or things that make us feel like when and what and how, God, but I'm here to tell you today that Jesus came to make us whole. He came to make us complete. And so you may not have been sick of you this week, but I've been sick of me. But I'm so glad that he showed me what was in there. You're talking about somebody that's been on her knees. You're talking about somebody even before she go to sleep at night. God, if is there anything else in there that you need to deal with, slowly I say deal with it. I didn't tell him slowly, but I felt like slowly deal with it. No, get it out. I'm serious. Get it out. You know why? Because we have such a work to do in this earth. And while we're working, church, he's working on us. Can you hear what I'm saying? Can you hear me? I was running revival and I had this thing in my heart against this man. We can't hold that stuff. We've got to let it go because it'll kill you. Paul says, he said, I don't want to become a castaway after having preached the gospel to you. I myself become a castaway. Think about that. He said, I preach to you, you got saved, you got healed, and then I go to hell. No, I don't want to preach it to you and then my own soul be lost. And you don't want to either, and your own soul be lost, right? Hallelujah. So listen, church. We have a great high priest in Jesus Christ who hung, bled, and died for all of our sins. All of them. Say all. Because sometimes we'll say not this. He died for all suffering, for all pain. Say all. He died for all coming short of the glory of God. Say all. He died for all of our coming short of the glory of God. All of it. Not one of us is worse than the other. And you know, we like to do that. I like to put you down for yours because it makes me feel better about me. You know I'm telling the truth. You know I'm telling the truth. If some people say, I would never do that. But you're doing what you just did. You just compared yourself to that person and said, I would never do that. Now you just became guilty. You just showed that you come short of the glory of God because Jesus wouldn't do that. He would weep over another's sin. He would weep over another's heartache. He wouldn't say, oh, you'll never catch me doing that. Remember you growing up, you were a little girl, there were certain things you were never going to take off of a man. Remember, fellas, when you were growing up, there were certain things a woman would never do. Uh-huh. All of it got happened to you, didn't it? I know it did. Don't play. There are certain things I would never, man, I'd never take that from a woman. Honey, child, he'll never do that to me. And all of it happened. Y'all just playing crazy. Everybody trying to look innocent. I caught you. Caught. Comparisons are dangerous. And we can't make certain kinds of declarations. Amen? You can make it, but it won't be right. Because Danella said, oh, you can say anything, that don't make it true. And then she does that hallelujah her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have an high priest in Jesus Christ. Let's make the most of this verse that we keep talking about over here. If you're brokenhearted today, allow the healer to heal you. If you're fearful today, allow the word of God to drive that thing out of you and bring you to the place where you trust and see that God is greater than your greatest fear. There's peace beyond understanding in this place today. And God is able to do far exceeding abundantly above all that you can think or ask, according to the power that worketh in you. Who is the power that works in you? The Holy Ghost. Which means there are no limits. I mean, he could bring my Aunt Betty Mae's granddaughter in here today. Stop, God, you something else. I need Michelle to say stop. I don't even know the last time I saw Edie. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. That was really something. She said, Carolyn, don't you recognize me? Oh my God, Edie. After all these years. So it can't be too small, can't be too little. They said King David would stare at the ceiling, but he's whispering. He's whispering, he's moving, his eyes opened. He said he wasn't going to wake up. He woke up. Now he's going to get up. Hallelujah. So come boldly before the throne of grace that we do may do what? Find that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. So come boldly. Good morning, God. Come the way Chase climbs up on things and then turn around and look at you. Come boldly. Come boldly. Come boldly. Come the way your children come to you. Come to the Father that way. Amen. Father, I pray that things have been said in this place today to bring us to the place where we will understand that not only are you God with us, but you are God in us to cause us to live according to your will and to live beyond this flesh and these fleshly things that go on with us. The life that you've given us is greater. Greater. More than life on this earth. And the work that you've done and you are doing in us is making us people who will be durable throughout the ages, people who will live abundantly with you throughout the ages. Help us, dear God. If there's fear in this place today, I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that that person with the fear would recognize it and say no. That person that has no peace, that the peace of God would come on them today. Father, for unforgiveness, I know that I addressed that on purpose today because there are hearts in here today who have not let go of things that have been done to them. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that those persons would let go and not charge anyone with those things that have been done to them. Father, even as Ezekiel saw the dry bones come to life, I pray that that kind of life would be in here today. Dear God, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I got Ezekiel 37 in because that's what I thought I was going to preach today. And I didn't. And I believe that it was by design. Amen. I was going to tell those dry bones to live again. Y'all was going to tell them dry bones to live again. Stuff was just going to get up today, but God did some clean up today. Did some clean up today. If there's anyone in the house who needs Jesus as Savior, and you realize that today, and you want to make that decision today to allow him to become the Lord of your life, if you're in this place today, and you want to make that decision to obey the wooing of God, the call of God, the bidding of God. If you're in here today, you can come forward now and make it a public confession. I receive Jesus as my Savior. I know sometimes we used to be in church when we say, everybody bow your head and close your eyes. And that's like we ought to be ashamed for saying we want Jesus. And then sometimes it's to make you feel comfortable. But you know what? If it's uncomfortable, do it anyway. The living a life with Christ is not a comfort zone. I promise you. It's not a comfort zone. God wants us to begin now owning him and owning what he wants to do in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anybody at all, anybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, if not, today, maybe later. Hallelujah. We just give God praise for you. Amen. 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 I had one announcement, but I left it in the office.